Shabbat Shalom, saints, and welcome to our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Each week, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet us here. In fact, Jehovah commanded us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. We know, according to Leviticus 23, the Sabbath is a feast of Jehovah. So I want you to grab something to write with, something to write on, and prepare yourself to receive inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for our Sabbath Holy Convocation Service. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom. I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches Scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring. Challenging. Encouraging. Deepening. Strengthening. And enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Shalom, everyone. Amen. Welcome. We welcome everyone in-house and online to our service. May grace and peace be unto you. Today's message is censorship from Jehovah. Our tongues have a dual usage. The possessor of the tongue can use it as a weapon to damage or as a tool to encourage. This little member of the body with such great power must be constantly guarded and carefully used. Our announcements today as follows. Join us live for the 8th day feast of Jehovah. That's tomorrow, Sunday, October the 8th. Our service is at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Our doors are opening up at 10 a.m. We have brunch and snacks at 11 a.m. And we encourage you to come on out and bring some biblically clean foods and snacks to enjoy with us. During our fellowship today, we invite you all to take a walk upstairs. We have our sukkah, which is upstairs and it's ready for viewing, and it makes a great photo opportunity. After today's teaching, you'll be given an opportunity to give of your tithes and offerings. You can ask questions, give comments, testimonies, and submit your prayer request. At this time, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome up Apostle Arthur Bailey. He's going to be announcing who our speaker is for today. Amen? Amen.
All right, let me have that. So before I do that, I'm going to ask
Shaquita's husband, Brother Cornelius, to come and open us up in prayer. How about that first?
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Let us pray to the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. For this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We just thank you, Father, for blowing life into us on today, Father, your Sabbath, Father. We thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your tender mercies and your kindness, Father. We thank you for all that you do and all that you are. You've done so much for us, Father. And we just bless you with everything in us, Father. We thank you for your spirit and your power that dwell in the midst of us, Father. And we welcome your presence in here always, Father. And we recognize that when two or more are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. And we thank you, Father, for even allowing us to be in your presence. We ask that you have your way in here, Father, on today, Father. Welcome your spirit in. We welcome your spirit in here, Father. And we also ask that you forgive us for our sins, those we're aware of and those we're not aware of, creating us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. Cleanse all unrighteousness out of us so we can be in right standing with you, Father. And we ask that you heal us, Father. Heal whoever need healing online or that's presently with us, Father. And we thank you for healing us, Father. You sent your word to heal us from all of our sickness and diseases, Father. We thank you for Yeshua, Father, that atoned sacrifice for the sins for the whole world, Father. We thank you for reconciling us back to you, Father. And we just love you with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our strength, Father. We ask for to help us with laborers on today, Father. And we recognize that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, Father. So we ask that you give us wisdom, revelation, knowledge, and understanding, Father, to go out to do what you told us to do, what you commanded us to do, Father, and that's to make disciples of all nations. And we just ask that you give us your spirit, Father, to do so, Father. And we just love you, Father. We just help us to not only be hearers of your law, but doers of your law, Father. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father, what your spirit is saying. And we just love you again, Father. We bless you, Father. We honor you, Father. We ask that you help us, Father, to hear your voice instead of other voices, Father. Help us to be commune to your voice, Father. And we just thank you, Father. We thank you for Brother Ronald, Father, and we ask that you dwell in your spirit, Father, as he come forth and teach your true word, Father. And we just bless you, Father. We ask that you bless his family and bless his whole household, Father. And we just love you. We honor you. We give your name the glory, Father. In the mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Cornelius. Today we are in the Feast of Tabernacle, and I'm excited here today. We not only are going to be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacle, but Father has heard our prayers concerning raising up laborers, and we have one of our brothers who's going to be bringing the word to us today, and so he's going to come here in just a few minutes. This morning I was awakened to an alarm of an attack in the land of Israel. I don't know if any of you are familiar, but the Hamas bombed the land of Israel, and the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, declared war. And so there's another war that is currently happening. From my understanding, over 40 people so far have been killed and several hundred injured. And so let's just keep Israel in our prayers. This is the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacle. In Judaism, it would be called Hoshana Rabbah, which is the Great Hoshana. And in some Messianic communities, it's the last great day that Yeshua spoke about in John, which it is the last great day. And being that it is the last day of the feast, according to Scripture, we are to continue to celebrate for 7 days. And being that this is the last day of that celebration, then we're going to follow the instructions of celebrating the Almighty with the waving of branches and with the trumpet. Now, those of you who heard the teaching that we did on the two silver trumpets, we know that the silver trumpets were that which was commanded by the Most High, as in our solemn days, in our feast days, Sabbath days, you know, to blow the shofar over our offerings and things of that nature. And so we're going to open, and those of you who have your branches, we're going to wave, we're going to shout hallelujah, we're going to celebrate and rejoice and give praise and honor to our Father who are in heaven. Amen. So if you're ready, let's do it. Let's just remember that this is a day of celebration. And as I've said before, whenever we come into the house or the presence, I don't consider this the house, this building. I consider us the house. You're a lively stone. You're a lively stone. You're a lively stone. You're a lively stone. I'm a lively stone. And so we collectively make the house of Jehovah, being his temple, where he dwell in the midst of us. Amen. And so today, as we are here to celebrate him, we do it together in his presence as brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters of the Most High. And so today, we're going to invite Minister Ronald Haynes, who's going to come, and his message is on censorship from Jehovah. And so I just want us to receive his ministry as he comes. Let's just pray for him and just give him entrance into the spirit and into your hearts and minds. Come on, brother. Amen. Praise you, Father. Father, we just thank you for this man who has answered the call of ministry on his life. We thank you for the calling that you've placed on him, and we receive it. We ask your blessings upon him. Let your glory abide upon him. As his mouth is open, Father, fill it with your words and cause deliverance to go forth, healing to go forth. Father, cause your word to destroy yokes and to break those those shackles in the hearts and minds of people and set them free. And we thank you, Father, for your word going forth through this vessel in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. All right, receive the ministry, saints.
Testing, mic. Shabbat shalom, saints. All right. Blessed is the day that Jehovah has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. It's been quite some time since I've been before you, primarily because Jehovah has been dealing with me in certain areas of my life. You know, we all sometimes need an evaluation, self-evaluation, and I had that. And Jehovah told me it was some things that he was displeased with me about and that I needed correcting in. So this message came about as a part of that correction. All right. So today's message is entitled Censorship from Jehovah. We'll be out of the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Please subscribe for our updates. Our website, watch us on YouTube, check out our shorts, videos at Apostle Arthur Bailey 1. Also check us out on Instagram at Apostle Arthur Bailey. Follow us on social media networks. We're on Facebook at Apostle Arthur Bailey, also Instagram again, and TikTok at Apostle Arthur Bailey and others. Please like and share our videos and our posts. And at the end of this teaching, you will be able to ask questions, receive prayer, and give your tithes and offering. The vision of the House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my body and in my life. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for opportunity to come before you in prayer. We ask that you make our ears ready to hear, our hearts ready to receive, and our minds ready to focus on what you have delivered unto me, for me to deliver unto your children. Father, I pray that your word not return null and void, and that, Father, that it witnessed to somebody here today. Father, it is as your word has witnessed to me. I thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be used as your vessel. I pray, Father, that all of you come out, Father, and none of me. In the name of your son, Yeshua, I pray. Amen. All right. So today's message, again, is censorship in Jehovah. The tongue has dual usage. The possessor of the tongue can use it as a weapon or can use it as a tool. It has been used as a weapon to damage and destroy, and as a tool to build up and encourage. As believers, we should always exercise self-control and operate in the spirit rather than the flesh. We have the power to either wage war or to diffuse hostilities through the operation of our tongues. This little member of our body with such great power must be constantly guarded and carefully used. This teaching will highlight the need to bring our tongues under the subjection of Jehovah. Now, a little background about this book. James was the brother of Yeshua, and he's most credited as the author of this book. James, the son of Zebedee, had died in 44 AD. There was three James mentioned in the New Testament. And that was too early for him to have been the author of this book. So, because he was beheaded under the authority of Herod Agrippa. And then there's no tradition that speaks of James, the son of Alphaeus, as being the author. So, therefore, we conclude that Yeshua's brother, that James, would have been the author of the book of James. Although James was not a follower of Yeshua during his earthly ministry, a post-resurrection appearance convinced James that Yeshua was indeed the Messiah. And you can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. After the death of Yeshua, James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. The book of James was possibly written between 45 AD and 52 AD. James was beaten to death and stoned at the age of 94 in 62 AD. And Fox's Book of Martyrs is a good book for you to find out the background information on that. The book of James calls for obedience to the law of Jehovah. James showed believers that their obedience to Jehovah's commandments is an indication of living in faith. James brings both testaments together to show that faith and works and integrity related in both the Old and the New Covenants. Before we jump into the book of James, I want to say that, you know, people who are in close relationships, often family, friends, loved ones, they often say they love you with their lips, and then they turn around and hurt you with their words. This message came about as sort of a chastisement for me, as I said again, from Jehovah. And in the past, unfortunately, I've said hurtful things to my parents, to my siblings, some of my childhood friends, and even sadly to my wife. And I've also been on the receiving of those hurtful words. So we're going to go through the book of James and let Jehovah counsel us on this little member of our tongue, called our tongue. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, swift to hear. When I used to read this, I thought that it meant swift to hear what the person who is in front of you is saying to you. Well, oftentimes, if you're quick to hear that, if it's displeasing words to you, that might set you off. So in searching this out, it's actually being swift to hear the voice of Jehovah. See, you're supposed to take your guidance and leadership from Jehovah. But oftentimes we reference our flesh or that old man when we're confronted by someone who says something to us disfavorable or does something to us disfavorable. Ecclesiastes 5 and 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, or be not quick with thy mouth. And let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God or for Elohim. For Elohim is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. So in context, this passage is speaking regarding vows unto Jehovah. So don't go before Jehovah just running your mouth and just saying anything, because you're going to be held accountable for your words. But this verse also applies to this teaching. The New Living Translation of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Too much talk leads to sin. And this last part, I had to listen to, and I think that a lot of us should listen to it. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Now, see, I'm just tell you a little story of a time that I probably should have kept my mouth shut. I graduated high school in 2005. So upon graduation, me and a couple of my childhood friends decided to go to Florida, you know, for high school graduation trip. So we're in Florida and we visit a nightclub. So when we're at this nightclub, we meet some other high school graduates that are from Houston, Texas. We, you know, we kind of We kind of hit it off with the young ladies, but then we kind of offended the males. So, you know, we kind of got some weird looks while we were at the club, you know, things of that nature. And we ended up exchanging contact information so that we could meet up after the club. So me and my friends, we get into our SUV and we drive over to Disney Resort, where this group of students from Texas is staying. So upon arrival, we get out and we're met in the parking lot by about 30 guys. Now, it was about 7 or 8 of us that was together on this trip. And a couple of the guys, you know, had their arms folded. They was pretty standoffish. And somebody uttered, y'all might want to get back in your vehicle and go back where you came from. Mm-hmm. Now, see, being who I was, a prideful, egotistical, fleshly man, and a young person that really just didn't have a proper foundation in Messiah as of yet, my response was, I don't think any of these guys' name is Walt or Disney, so I'm free to go about, you know, where I choose. And last time I checked, this is America. This is a free country. So, now, that was foolish. Because out of the 7 or 8 of us, I think about 2 to 3 of us would have been able to fight or defend ourselves. The rest of them would have ran. I had a cousin who personally told me, he said, because, you know, I wasn't raised like that. I ain't really with the, so don't, you can't count on me. Now, one of my best friends, who actually would have been one of the persons to join me in the fight, he tugged at me, like, he yanked at my shirt. And I'm, what are you doing, man? He's trying to tell me what Proverbs verse 10 and 19 was saying, shut your mouth. And I'm like, bro, they ain't talking to me. Y'all gonna let them talk to us? Like, no. Okay, but the reason why this was foolish is because, one, we was outnumbered. Two, we didn't have any idea what was on the minds of these guys, what their intentions were, if they were armed, anything. Now, just funny, chance in case, you know, it's always a ram in a bush, and it's Jehovah used the smallest person of their crew, so to speak. A little short guy. he had some guys that looked like they probably played football for their high school. They were standing around, you know, had taken off their shirts, had on tank tops, you know, trying to be intimidating. And little guy stepped up forward and he said, y'all are the guys from North Carolina, right? I said, yeah. And he said, man, don't mind him. Man, y'all cool. He was like, ain't no problem, no issues. You know, these guys still mean mugging and still upset. You know, and he's telling them the same thing Proverbs said, shut your mouth. He's telling them to shut up. Now, you know, just fast forward, Jehovah was in the midst of it because, like, shortly after that exchange of words, the sky opened, and in Florida, you know, it rains every day because it's a tropical climate, so it came up a huge thunderstorm, and we had to vacate anyway. But I just said that just to say it just took me back to a time to where, you know, running my mouth could have put me in a very bad situation, and it was explained to me when we got, you know, when we got in our Jeep and we was on our way back to our condo, my friend said, I felt disrespected too. But that was foolish for you to, you know, create confrontation with your words. Now, if if they would have, you know, came at us aggressively and perpetuated violence towards us, we're outnumbered, and you know, just like I know, me and you probably would have been the only ones to really, and we would have took the brunt of it. So it took that experience for me to learn, you know, don't always be so quick to speak. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brother, be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. This word masters in the Greek, Greek number 1320, didiaskalos, excuse me, and I meant to make that, I'll fix that a little later, but it's from the Greek, it's an instructor, doctor, master, or teacher. And remember that Yeshua said to call no man master. New King James Version translation of James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. See, many individuals desire to be teachers within the ministry because of the importance and the respected role that teachers play in the body. The proliferation of untrained teachers can allow false teachings to arise in assemblies, leading some astray. Because of their role as leaders, teachers are the subject to stricter judgment. See, the Bible tells us that the teachers are subject to stricter judgment because they're responsible for teaching the word of Jehovah with accuracy. And if they're not teaching the word of Jehovah with accuracy, then the tendency is they're leading people astray. And we see with the majority of the world, they've been led astray by people who do not teach the word of Jehovah with accuracy. They teach doctrine. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle his whole body. The New Living Translation, you know, helps flush that out a little bit. It says that, indeed, we all make mistakes. We all make many mistakes. Yes, we do. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. See, that little tongue, man, it's a powerful little member. Sometimes it wants to have a mind of its own. So that's why the word is saying that if we could at least just control that little member, we pretty much could control every other member of our bodies. Perfection, according to this passage, occurs when we exercise self-control and not allow the influence of outside factors to cause us to sin. See, this is what I was saying. I was saying that you can't allow what you're being met with to allow you to respond in sin. A lot of people use what someone else does to them as an excuse to how they respond. I was guilty of that. With Jehovah, there is no justification for sin. You know, it's funny because under man's law, you got certain things. You have justifications like, you know, if you killed someone, a justification for killing someone could potentially be self-defense. But Jehovah is strict. Now, think about how the tongue, being one of the smallest members of the body, how much power it exudes. Seemingly untamable, the tongue delivers the contents of the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, the negative words spoken came from a spirit that works within the speaker. Before a thought is verbalized, it is just that. It's a thought. And, you know, I was recently counseled and told that just because I have a thought, it does not give me the right to express it. And that was wisdom. And I thank the person that told me that. James 3:3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. You know, bits is like sort of like the reins, you know, that they hold and it goes. That they may obey us and we turn about their whole body. See, if you ever ridden a horse, you know, when you grab the reins, you turn that horse whichever way you want it to go. That's how you direct the horse. The horse is being led by his mouth. Now, Psalms addresses this. Psalmist in chapter 32, verse 9 says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Now see, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20, it says, seest thou that a man is hasty with his words, for there is more hope of a fool than him. See, the horse is being led by the rider or whoever is on the horse. The horse has no direction. The horse does not understand where it is going. That's why it says that whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. The horse will walk towards, you know, a person that's standing in front of him or whatever is in front of him or wherever it wants to go if it's not being controlled. Same way with your tongue. Your tongue will get away from you if you're not controlling it. We cannot afford to act as horses or mules who are controlled by their mouths. With bit and bridle. See, horses and mules are moved by their master. So I ask, when we open our mouths to cause damage and destruction, who is the master behind this action? Just see lie on that for a second. James chapter 3, verse 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth. So, I like to watch shipping disasters. Sometimes I see these big, huge oil vessels or shipping vessels out on sea. And you just think of how large some of those boats are. But they're controlled by a little rudder that flips, you know, directions to guide the ship which way it's going to go. And this huge ship is controlled by this little rudder. Now, think about that in comparison to the human body and the tongue. Helm, from the Greek, 4079. Pedaleon, the blade of an oar, a pedal or a rudder. King James translates this in the following manner. It is a rudder or a helm. Picture a ship's large rudders. Picture a large ship's rudders. The tongue in relation to the body is the same in comparison with the rudders to a ship. The tongue is disproportionate to the influence and effect it has on the body. The question is, who's controlling your reins and who's directing your rudder? See, this was the question that Jehovah asked me. The words that you speak, are they my words? James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So boasteth in great things. It comes from the Greek. It's a phrase. Megalakeo, a compound which means to boast or akin to to talk big, arrogant, egotistic, boasting great things. I searched it out just a little further in Thayer's Greek Lexicon. In relation to James chapter 3 and 5, where it seems to denote any kind of haughty language which wounds and provokes others and stirs up strife. So this is what boastful talking does. It's haughty language which wounds and provokes others and stirs up strife. See, the tongue has burned many. We were taught sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. And that is a complete utmost lie. Words impact us all in one way or another. This phrase failed to account for the emotional and mental anguish suffered by the recipients of hurtful words. As we know, emotional and mental stress can and will manifest into physical ailments. See, I remember they used to say that. I was in grade school, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words may never hurt you. And then, you know, when you were children, not everybody, but you play the dozens, you know, your mama so, your daddy this, you know, you so fat, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, some of those words were hurt. Like, you would feel that emotionally, you know. And some of us have had words that have stuck and carried, you know, things that were said to us by people that we trust or that said loved us. You know, some people were told that they would never amount to anything, you know. And some people bought that. You know, they say if you tell a person something so many times, eventually they'll start to believe it. You know, I used to remember when they say that if you call somebody stupid and you repeat it to them over and over and over again, if they're not a strong person, they'll eventually start to question their intelligence. Psalms 42 and 10. As with the sword in my bones. See, I told you words hurt. It felt like a sword in his bones. Mine enemies reproach me while they say, see, they use their tongue. They say daily to me, where is thy God? So they was taunting him. You know, coming to him every day, he was in distress. And they was like, huh, where your God at now? Those words hurt. James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Just had to flush that out just a little bit, so I referenced the New English Translation of the same verse, and it reads, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue represents the world of wrongdoing among the parts of our bodies. It pollutes the entire body and sets fire to the course of human existence, and is set on fire by hell. A fire consumes and destroys whatever gets in its path. Most sins against man involves the usage of the tongue in one way or another. Just think about that. The whole body is often drawn into sin and guilt by the tongue. Therefore, Solomon says, suffer not my mouth to cause my flesh to sin. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6. When a man inflames others, he passes at the behest of his own words, being consumed in the flame himself. So what the speaker does not realize is when you use hurtful words and you use your mouth to sin, you are actually perpetuating damage on your own self. And you'll see how. Because the word will flush this out and explain. Hell or Gehenna is used here in verse 6, as it is also used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. And that's where Yeshua had addressed murder and anger. And he warned about the dangers of hell that will follow as a result. Now, if you just think about, you know, how a lot of homicides take place, you know, unfortunately, I've been witness to, you know, some homicides, saw the aftermath of a lot of them. And one of the things that I know is the tongue is involved heavily. Usually it's an argument or some type of dispute. Something is said. You know, someone can't walk away from the situation because of pride, because of ego, and that old man resurrects, and then they, you know, respond with something verbally. And then things escalate. See, this is why Yeshua addressed this, and he warned about murder and anger. So in Matthew 5:22, Yeshua said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Notice I highlighted the words "shall say." You say to your brother, Raca, you're in danger of the council. You say to your brother, fool, you'd be in danger of hellfire. James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire. I went back to this because I wanted to highlight that the fact that the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on the fire of hell. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. See, James chapter 3 told you that the tongue is a fire. And see, Proverbs tell you that an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. In his lips is his tongue. Think about this. There are very few sins that do not require some form of verbal communication. Think about it. I mean, adultery starts off usually with something that you said to, you know, somebody's wife or husband that you shouldn't have said. Leads off in the conversation. You know, you think about stealing. Somebody told you where something was of value, or that something was valuable, or you wouldn't even be interested in the first place. I mean, the list goes on. If you just think about it, there are some sins that do not require the use of your mouth. But for the most part, your mouth has a lot to do with most of the sins in the world. Psalms 52 and 2. The tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Now, think about this. So this verse says it's like a sharp razor working deceitfully. So you think about a barber who uses a straight razor. Like when I go to my barber, I like to use the straight razor so much that I even bought myself my own straight razor. But when you think about the straight razor, it can be used, you know, to trim up my beard, or it can be used as a weapon to slit somebody's throat. You know, I remember watching the movie Color Purple, and what was her name, Celie? She was so angered that she went and grabbed that dull razor, and he, you know, he's sitting back thinking he gonna get a nice shave, and she got intentions to, you know, until it was her sister or somebody that stopped her. But I thought about that scene because I was like, you know, the tongue is like a sharp razor. You know, it can be used as a tool, like a barber uses it, or it can be used as a weapon. Matthew chapter 15, verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. See, this is what Yeshua said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees in response to them trying to criticize his apostles for not washing their hands with some traditional ritual before they ate. They were saying that, you know, you eat with unclean hands. And Yeshua told them that it's not that what goes in the mouth that defiles a man. Because that's going to go in, go down your esophagus, you know, through your intestines, out your colon, you know. That's not what defiles you, but it's what comes out of you. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Didn't I tell you that most sin starts off with your mouth? See, for out of the heart, if out of the heart the mouth speaks, if murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy is in the heart, then it's coming forth out of the mouth. And see, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Elohim. So if these things are in your heart, guess what? Depart from me, because I knew you not. You won't make it. James chapter 3, verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And Elohim said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Father gave us dominion. Now, about that dominion. See, I was amazed when I was a child. And I would go to the circus and I would see how the people would tame the wild animals. You know, they would walk out with the lions and the tigers, and the lions and the tigers would keep their mouths closed. They wouldn't bite them, you know. So I was, you know, kind of impressed by that. Also at SeaWorld, how the whales and the dolphins listen to the trainers. Human beings seem to have the capacity to tame the creatures in nature, as the word has said. However, we do not seem to have the ability to tame our tongues. Right. Wow. And our tongue is ours. It's a part of us. Like, we can have power and dominion, third party, over God's creation, but we seemingly can't have self-control to control our tongues. James chapter 3, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now see, this does not mean that everyone unceasingly makes unintended comments. But it does mean that even the most respected and respectful people have their own season of regretful words. We've all said something to someone that we, you know, regret or wish that we could take those words back. And words, you know, we used to have this saying in law school, you can't unring a rung bell. So if you say words, like if you present something to the jury, they heard that. Now, you can say objection all you want to. You know, in court, that's what they do. They say objection to keep something out. We don't want the jury to hear that. Well, a lot of times the person have already answered the question before the lawyer gets objection out. And the judge will turn over to the jury and say, hey, members of the jury, I need you to disregard that previous comment. As a defense attorney, I'm like, really? They're going to disregard it? They heard it. They're going to go right back in that room and be like, did you hear when he said such, 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 such? You can't change what you heard. And even though you say I'm sorry, the person that you've done the damage to, like Apostle said the other week, and it might have came, no, Father put that through Apostle for me. It's like an apology is like a softball. You just throw it up in the air. And when you say I'm sorry, those hurtful words that you said are like a Louisville slugger. And they just bat that apology right out the park. You know what? I don't even really like apologies. And it's not about like me not being humble. The reason why I don't like apologies is this. Don't apologize to me with your words. Apologize to me with your actions. Show me. You gonna tell me you sorry only for you to repeat the same action and do it again? That's the same way with Jehovah. Jehovah gets tired of us coming to him with repentance and asking for forgiveness for the things that we're going to continue to keep doing. If you really repent, change. All right. Hold on now. We really need Jehovah's help with bringing our tongues under control. Like, I need his help. And I'm continuously praying for it. Psalms chapter 140, verse 3. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. So adder's poison, you know, I think I have an extensive vocabulary, but I did not know what adder's was. So I looked it up. And adder's is a viper. It's a type of snake. So when I heard viper, my brain immediately went to Yeshua. Yeshua addressed the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 through 37 with this. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. And the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I told you you're going to be accountable for your words. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So you can either uplift someone with your words, bless somebody with your words, or you can curse somebody with your words and be damned by your words. The Pharisees had slandered Yeshua by accusing him of casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub. The evil words spoken by the Pharisees divulged the true nature of their hearts. See, their hearts was wicked. They was devising, scheming, always planning and plotting on Yeshua. My Savior didn't do nothing but tell the truth and go around and help people. And he was hated for it. And murdered for it. James chapter 3, verse 9. Therewith, bless we Elohim, even the Father, and therewith curse we man, which are made after the similitude of Elohim. Didn't Father say he made us in his image and likeness? Now, we'll get on our knees or our face and pray to Jehovah with this mouth and this tongue, and then get up out of prayer, let somebody aggravate us or annoy us and then turn around and curse man. Not, and when I say curse, not cuss, there's a difference. And I'll define curse in just a second. But we wouldn't curse Jehovah. But if he made us in his image and his likeness, then why do we curse his creation? Curse we, from the Greek, 2672. Katarome. To execrate, by analogy, to doom, curse, imprecate evil on. You can put evil on someone with your words. Here, the tongue is used in the highest regard to bless Jehovah and also to the lowest form of evil, to curse man. Peter himself displayed this very action towards Yeshua Messiah. Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75. I'm going to read these. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the passage. This is after Yeshua has been taken and the disciples have scattered. And Peter is confronted about being one of the followers of Yeshua. Verse 69. Now, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were with Yeshua of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also with Yeshua of Nazareth." But again, he denied with an oath. So he swore, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." They recognized him by his dialect. In the language that he spoke. Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Yeshua, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and he wept bitterly. Even Peter. That mouth. See, Peter had a problem with his tongue when Yeshua told him what was going to happen to him and that they were going to take him and that he was going to be sacrificed during the Passover. Peter rebuked that. And then Messiah rebuked him. Because, "Peter, you don't understand. This is Father's plan for me." That's what Yeshua was trying to let Peter understand. Peter thought he was doing a good thing by, you know, rebuking Messiah for what seemingly would be death talk. But Messiah was, he was so transparent with his apostles. Like, every word he spoke came to fruition. But then he had to reteach them for 40 days and 40 nights because as though what he said, they didn't get. James chapter 3, verse 10. "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." That's a double-minded mind. I mean, that's a double-minded man. The word says that he's unstable in all his ways. It's a hypocrite, really. So you blessing people with 1 minute, next minute you cursing people. You know, when I was growing up, I was very like musical. I played musical instruments. I liked poetry. I used to rap. Yeah. I still, from time to time, freestyle a little bit in the shower. But it's about good things, no profanity. But I asked for Jehovah to let me do some of the things that are the desires in my heart. And he's told me that he's going to allow me to use those skills to uplift him in the kingdom. But the reason why I brought that up is because when I go back and listen to things that I recorded 10, 15, 20 years ago, I'm embarrassed. Would I let my children listen to it? No. It was hypocritical because the things that you were saying is not uplifting the kingdom of Elohim, but the kingdom of Satan. You listen to most of these songs that's on the radio. It ain't just my generation. You can go back, man. Listen, I'm a music head. I go back to the 40s. You know, I listen to blues, Muddy Waters. You know, we can go to rock and roll. Wherever you want to go with music, I'm pretty knowledgeable about it. And you might not pick it up in your day, or you might, you know, not see it in your song. But I promise you, I can point out the enemy within our forms of entertainment. Father, you know, told me you can't do both. See, in the Christian church, we was raised to believe that we could. See, that's what Revelation calls lukewarm. Mixing. You know, I remember growing up, when the contemporary gospel, as they call it, and it's not gospel because gospel is the word sung. I told my wife this morning, gospel got discarded when they start calling it inspirational music, because that's what it is inspirational music. It's not gospel. Now, when I was younger, you know, I was a child, and Kurt Franklin had brought the hip hop. You know, he stomped. You know, it's the song, and it for me, I was. Yeah, that's, you know, and the older generation in the church was like, no, like they was like, Messiah, take me down, because this is about to be the end. I didn't understand lukewarmness, but now in my walk with Messiah, he'll vomit you out his mouth. That's what his word says. So you can't use your mouth for both blessing and cursing. You got to pick one. And if you're on the Lord's side, then it's blessing. And I'm not going to give no power to the enemy, so you can figure out the other side. The duality of the tongue is evident as in Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, they're opposites, but both of them are in the power of the tongue. And those that love it, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's why you got to be careful with what you say. And you got to be careful. Don't let anybody just say anything to you. Now, I know you can't control people, but you control yourself and whether or not you stand there and listen to it. I rebuke a person in a heartbeat. Family too, because they'll try to, point in case. Cancer is really prevalent on my mom's side of the family. It actually was a fear of my mom's for quite some time. She actually was diagnosed with cancer and thank Messiah was healed from cancer. But one of the things that was revealed unto me for me to tell her, your mouth. See, for her, she was, this is in my genes. This is, you know, generational. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this. So my grandmother had six children. My grandmother passed away from cancer or died from cancer. Okay, my grandmother's oldest child died from cancer. My uncle died from cancer. My mama had cancer. Now, she has two other siblings who's never had a cancer diagnosis. So if cancer runs through the family, why didn't hit them too? Mm-hmm. So these are questions you got to start asking yourself. The wisdom of Jehovah will start to give you these questions. Okay, so then I explained to her, because I was reading the book of Job, and this is when it hit me. Job said, the thing that my greatest fear has come upon me. See, for years, I heard my mom speak about cancer. Lord, my mama only lived to 69. I hope I live to see my grandbabies this. I hope I live to see you graduate college. I hope it ain't no cancer. She would freak out when other people got cancer. And I told her, I said, you've been speaking this in existence for 20 years. Now it's done came about. And then she'll come around me. Oh, you need to go get checked and did it. Now, which is she right? I should be, you know, evaluated. You should keep up with your health. But I'm not going to receive you telling me that, that could be cancer, or, you know, cancer runs in our family. No. It run away from me. Our words should always be used for Jehovah's glorification. We, the body, should be consistent with our speech. The same speech used at assembly should be used at home, school, and work. Don't put on your religious outfit to come in here and then put on your devil mask when you get out there. And you got to be consistent in your speech. So I had to work on, one of the things that I had to work on is body language. Because a lot of times my body language and what I'm saying don't add up. And that's because I'm trying to say the right thing, but I'm having an internal thought that's saying something else. A lot of times this happened with me and my wife. She might say something to me, and in my mind, I'm spitting fire. But I'm trying to, like, not have an argument, diffuse the situation, so I'll give a soft answer. And she just looks at me like, you just saying something to get me out your face. And it's more insightful because I'm like, I am. But like, please get out my face. But what she's letting me know is that my words and my actions are not lining up. I'm saying one thing, but I'm giving off another. To bring peace about the situation, I got to have both of them to align. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37. But I say to you, for every idle word man may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The display of righteousness, or the lack thereof, will be evidence for us on the day of judgment. And what I mean by that is that by your words you'll be either justified or condemned. So, the day of judgment, I guess we'll be judged by ourselves. You and Father or Yeshua will go through the evidence of whether you're righteous or whether you were wicked. James chapter 1 and verse 26. If any man seem among you to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain. Goes to my reiteration about claiming to be righteous and moving about, you know, assembly and righteous circles, you know, appearing righteous. But then out on the world, speaking the contents of your heart, which is desperately wicked. The person who refuses to hold his tongue is deceived about his faith. He or she hears and talks, but lacks obedience to what is heard. James defines pure and undefiled religion as based on action and not lip service. And this is for, you know, those people who think that, you know, I live by faith and I don't have to keep the law. Well, the father of faith was Abraham, and he was in the law, and he obeyed Jehovah's commandments. You are to be a doer and not just a hearer, or you deceive yourself. James 1 and 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, it's not that we know the word, it's when we actually put the word into operation. See, you receive greater condemnation for knowing the word and not doing than for you to not have done because you didn't know. James chapter 3, verse 11. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? That's just a question for everybody. Does a fountain give out both sweet and bitter water? This is not a double-headed fountain. This ain't like the fountains at your local fast food where you go up, you press Sprite, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew. Nah, this is that one. You know, some of those, matter of fact, the new digital ones with the touch screens, have y'all seen those? Those are just one. You actually got to choose the, see that, those don't operate in the kingdom. You don't get, you don't, you only get one. If it's water that's coming through that spout, it's only water. You don't get water and high C coming through the same spout. Just like you don't get sweet water and bitter water coming from the same fountain. Just like you don't get good and evil coming from the same vessel. At least you ain't supposed to. Out of mouths flow words, just as out of fountains flow water. Just as a fountain will not spew out both sweet and bitter from the same spout, both good and evil should not be spoken out of our with our tongues. Essentially, what is in you is what defines you and what typically comes out through the use of the tongue. You know, I was talking to a former pastor, and he said he would hang out with some of the men from the church, away from the church, just, you know, extracurricular activities, fellowshipping, and said that some of the men would let a few words fly of profanity and, you know, would try to catch themselves when they realized that pastor heard it. Oh, sorry, pastor. I did. That just slipped. Well, you know, that pastor said, no, he said, that didn't just slip. That's in you. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's in your spirit. What you're apologizing is you didn't mean to say that in front of me because you're a respecter of persons. But Father heard you. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 16, Yeshua poses a question to his disciples that the author of James seemingly answers. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 16, here's the question. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now think about that. He answers it in James chapter 3, verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. A fig tree bears what? Figs, right? Not olives, right? Because what bears olives? An olive tree. So, if we are children of Jehovah, what are we supposed to be producing? What fruit? Righteousness. Thank you. Not wicked fruit. Not hurtful fruit, not destructive fruit. We cannot call ourselves children of the Most High and use our tongues to offend Jehovah's creation. This is what he told me. It is necessary that no matter what the earthly situation is, that we see each other as a brother or a sister in Messiah in order to keep the second great commandment. That thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I just wanted to see lie on that for a moment. That was the end of that teaching. Praise Jehovah. Let us pray. Dear Jehovah, thank you, Father, for that teaching. Father, I take no credit in that teaching. That was all of you, Father. And I just thank you for witnessing to me, dealing with me, Father. I pray, Father, that you would witness and deal with the individuals that this word has gone forth to be heard from. Father, I pray and I ask, Father, that all hurt, Father, and all broken hearts be mended, relationships be restored, Father, that you interject your love and your peace, Father, amongst your people. I pray, Father, for families. I pray for marriages. I pray, Father, that you would keep marriages and families together and united. Father, I pray that you would help strengthen your people, Father. I pray, Father, that this word be an inspiration to someone. Father, I pray that you would help provide the discipline that all of us so need in order to be able to control our tongues and our temperament and our attitudes. Please keep us mindful of your word, Father. Help us to remember to seek you in the midst of calamity, in our times of trouble. Keep us guarded, Father. Keep our spirits guarded as well as our physical. And we just ask this in our blessings in the name of your son, Yeshua. Amen. All right. So, before we open it up to questions, I just want to take a time to open it up for people to be able to give. So if this teaching has ministered to you, we ask that you please subscribe to our website, our YouTube channel, and you can support the ministry with your tithes and offerings and donations. Some of our ways to give, we have Zelle, Venmo, and Cash App as electronic methods in which you can give. Our preferred methods of donation, we have Cash App at $ ABM for Arthur Bailey Ministries, HOI, House of Israel. We have Venmo at Arthur Bailey 10 and zale@apostlea@gmail.com. We'll just pray real quick before we take up tithes and offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come to you to give back what has been given to us, a tenth. Father, we hearken and obey your commandment, Father. And we ask, Father, that you just open up the windows of heaven and fill our storehouses with overflow. Father, we ask that you take these resources, Father, and that you multiply them to the better use of your kingdom. Let the gospel go out to all nations, Father, to all four corners of the earth. Please bless those, Father, who are obedient and open their hearts to give, Father. We pray, Father, that none lack as a result of their giving, but they be blessed in their giving. We pray, Father, that you would multiply provisions, that you would keep us, Father, in the coming days. And we thank you for providing for us, for you are our provider. In the mighty name of your son, Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Amen. It was a little short, but pretty good teachers. You know, I know I minister here to, you know, our viewers online and, you know, attendees here at House of Israel. But a part of being a vessel or being a tool for Yehovah, Yehovah deal with his own. So, you know, I'm a human being, just like all of you. Not making any excuse, but we all fall short. But when we do, we're to become aware of it and to seek his help to try to grow from the situation and to become that vessel in which he called us to be. Ms. Sharon?
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you so much for your teaching, Rama. And I really appreciated your vulnerability, how much you shared with us. But something your father's been dealing with me, and I've been dealing with a lot of thoughts running through my mind. And so it was really good when you said, a thought is just a thought until you speak it out. And I ain't speaking them out, but I tell you, if there was little tiny people like this and one was up in my head, all them thoughts and stuff, that person would be so bruised trying to find their way out of my ear, trying to get out of my brain. You know? But I'm learning to shut down those thoughts, you know, just to shut them, and definitely not to speak them. So I really appreciate it today because it was so life applicable. So I thank you.
Thank you.
Shabbat shalom. Glory to the King.
Shabbat shalom.
I want to give all the glory to the Father who gave you this message to teach today. It spoke to me, and I thank you, Father, because I needed what you have for me. All the glory to Him. I'm here to also give a testimony. Some of you know, but not all, for about 3 weeks, I've been dealing with some back and leg issue, which I thought was sciatica. And it has gotten worse for me to the point where I had to go see my doctor, and my doctor prescribed medications and so forth to help me deal with this pain. On the Feast of Tabernacle, I was walking up and I was speaking to Apostle Bailey, and I had let him know that Father let me know that it wasn't sciatica, because sciatica goes all the way down to your foot, and this stopped at my knee. And so then I came back and I sat down, and I tell you that to sit down was very uncomfortable. But for that teaching, I sat that whole teaching.
Hallelujah.
And as I was sitting there, I could feel the healing in my back. And I was blown away. And I'm feeling this healing in my back. And I told my brother that sat next to me, Thomas, I said, he's healing me. I can feel this. He's healing me. Man. And so the day ended. I went home and I am pain free.
Amen.
Glory to the King.
Amen.
He will heal those Amen. Of his children that call upon him and ask for healing. I am healed. I am here to testify and give the glory to the Father, for he has done a miracle in me, and he can do this same miracle in anybody who believes and calls upon his name, his children, his people. He loves us more than we will ever understand. Glory to the King.
Hallelujah.
We have a comment from Lee. What a timely message about the mouth. I just went through a chastisement from Jehovah because of not keeping my mouth shut when I should have. Thank you, brother, for this topic. May Jehovah bless you for your obedience.
Thank you.
A comment from Bobby. Shalom, shalom, saints. Happy Feast of Tabernacle. Minister Ronald, to add to what you already said, as a teacher, you are being judged more strictly because it is expected for your lifestyle to emulate or parallel what you preach. Yeshua said in Matthew 23:3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. From Lorna, a comment. Very, very good word and timely from Jehovah, Minister Ronald. I am not perfect. Julie has a comment. Wonderful sermon, Minister Ronald. This is a sermon I needed to hear. The Lord has been dealing with me concerning this subject. Go ahead. Hold on.
Shalom. So, hi, Ronald.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm well. All
right. For those of all that do not know, Minister Haynes is my husband. So Apostle pretty much every Sabbath preaches about something that either we're going through, have been through, or heads up. So I just wanted to say thank you for having the courage to stand up in front of everybody and to admit where you may be falling short. Because that's something that I know for myself, I do. I fall short. And that it's important to remember that in relationships, you have to be vulnerable, even when you may be hurt by the other person that you're supposed to be vulnerable to. That's been something that we both have to go through. And I'm being honest with everybody because I've been told so many times that what we go through in our marriage is not uncommon, and that it's a testimony to others to see us go through this. And a number of you all know we are in marriage counseling. Apostle has made it his business, and I'm very, 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 very grateful that he cares enough to invest his time into us, to pour into us, his knowledge, his wisdom, his care, his concern. And just to encourage you all, one of my biggest fears is, or has been, the words that have been spoken to me, not just by my husband, but by people, period, that have made me vulnerable to the point to where it crushes me. It changes me. A lot of people complain about when they get upset, they overeat. I stop. That can be worse. So when someone is coming at you with words, or someone is coming at you with things that don't necessarily speak to you, that are not true, be mindful, as Apostle says, to be guarded to that. That just because someone is saying something to you doesn't mean that it's true. And that the devil knows what you think. You know your thoughts more than anybody. And sometimes what you hear can sound like your own voice, because the devil is trying to perpetuate on the outside what you feel on the inside. Don't agree with that. It won't work if you don't agree. If you don't let it sink in, it won't agree. The other thing is the words that have been spoken can resonate to the point to where you can't forget them. It becomes a record in your head and it plays over and over and over. And even though, like Ronald said, that he apologizes and it, that ball goes up and psh, all right. But you got to remember that you have to remember that you cannot die partially. When you become born again, you can't choose which part of you. I'm going to let my pinky toe grow back. I'm going to let my thumb grow back, but I'm going to keep that arm. It don't work that way. Every part of you has to change, and you have to be willing to change yourself. Don't worry about who's changing around you. Change you. When you change, they have to meet you where you are, and that's where that agreement comes in, and then everything will begin to flow. God will also take away those hurtful words. I prayed for that. One of my things is I didn't want to hear those hurtful words over and over again. Keep in mind that he can't. I told Apostle, the only way I'm going to forget is if God selectively takes things from my memory. I don't see how he can do that without giving me Alzheimer's or something to that effect. But no. The thing is, he can. There are things that I have forgotten that I do not remember because I care not to remember them. And I didn't even have to pray about in particular little incidences. Overall, I can remember Tuesday, but I don't remember the exact words that were said to me on Tuesday. So it doesn't play over again in my head. You see? So just keep that in mind that you can focus on you and not worry about whatever else is happening. And eventually, things will line up. It's not overnight. It's taking years. I'm not going to lie. But when I tell you the joy is instantaneous, the joy is instantaneous. I love you.
I love you too. Praise him. Praise him.
We have another comment from Bobby. As believers, we even have to be mindful of certain jokes. In Ephesians 5:4, the scripture says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Lorna has a comment, very good word from Jehovah and timely. I have said hurtful words and have been on the receiving end of hurtful words. And because of the hurt, I have felt I give it my best to be very careful of how I speak to others because they can cause damage for days, months, and sometimes years. I am still doing a lot of work to undo the words that were spoken to me last tabernacle. I understand the words were not meant for harm. And I even follow the instruction in the word by going to the one that spoke the words. They apologized, however, the man of God that spoke to them I looked up to and had great respect for. The way he saw me was wrong, and I believe it should have been handled different, and therefore I find myself praying and casting down hurtful and damaging words. From Eliza, comment, Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight.
Amen.
O Jehovah, my strength and my redeemer. Julie has a question for Minister Ronald. The Lord has been dealing with me about controlling my tongue, but how do you handle situations at work where fellow co-workers want to talk to you about the boss because they feel they've been mistreated by the boss? Or said boss has done something to annoy them. I understand how they feel because the boss has a tendency to do those things. How should I respond to my coworker when they want to talk about what the boss said or did to them?
Me personally, this is just my personal opinion. I wouldn't respond. It's not your grievance or your you know, dispute with the supervisor or what's going on. Because you never know the motives of individuals. You know, point in case, I've been a part of conversations to where someone is talking about something and I might mention something that has something to do with it. All of my words get back to the person that it was about. None of the other person who started the conversation's words is even spoken about, you know, and then it becomes my situation when it had nothing to do with me in the first place. So I wouldn't respond to it at all. And if it's not positive, I mean, why would you want to be a part of conspiring to perpetuate negativity?
Yeah, let me add something to that. One of the ways that you can stop people from doing that is that if somebody comes to you to talk to you about somebody else, you ask them, have they talked to that person?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And you let them know. I mean, you don't have to call them a gossiper, but the fact of the matter is that that's gossip. And the best way to deal with issues like that is that you go to the person. If you have an oath with that person, you go to them. The way you protect yourself is that if you just tell them, if you're coming to me to tell me stuff about them and you haven't gone to them, then the Almighty would have an issue with me. Mm-hmm. Because now I'm letting you dump on me. And when people dump on you, especially, you might have a slight issue with the boss, but then they come and dump on you, and now your issue with the boss becomes multiplied because you've allowed them to dump on you. And next thing you know, they'll transfer their spirit onto you. You become in agreement with the gossiper, and guess what that makes you? The moment you become a gossiper, you now have an issue, and the Father has an issue with you as a result of it. So, to recap, if someone is coming to you to dump on you about someone else, you tell that person they should go and talk to the person they have an issue with while they talking to you. Because if you don't do it, guess what? Who do you think they're going to come to the next time they have somebody to dump on? Mm-hmm. They're going to come to you. So protect yourself from that. Stay in right standing with the Almighty. Don't be drawn into their gossip and then direct them the proper way to deal with it. Now, don't you go to people and dump on about somebody
Amen.
That you haven't gone to them. Because you reap
what you sow.
What you sow.
And just to add on to that, like you said, follow the method of operation that's laid out in the Word. The Word tells us we got a problem with somebody, we go directly to that person. And if that person don't hear us out, then we go get a brother or witness. And then if they don't hear us out with that, then we go in front of the assembly. So follow that method of operation. I think you'll be all right.
Shabbat shalom. Praise Jehovah. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. I thank Jehovah for this day, and I thank you, Ronald, for that message. It was tight, but it was right. Woo. Woo. My tongue. Oh. I had to pray and ask Jehovah to put a bridle on my tongue because I normally... And I try not to do this now, but I used to just whatever I felt, whatever I thought, I said it. And so, Father, he put a bridle on my tongue whenever people would say something that I didn't agree with or I didn't like. I would say, And so my girlfriend, she said, you know, why do you always say, And I said, because I asked Jehovah, and at that time I was a Christian, I said, I asked God to put a bridle
on my tongue, and that's exactly what he did. So I thank you for your personal testimony, being so authentic with us and real, because that's where the anointing is. And it made me recall when I started serving Jehovah, and I was new. I think I had been in this walk maybe a year, and my daughter and I, we got into an argument. And the night before, I had to go to the hospital, and they diagnosed me with two brain aneurysms. Well, the next day, my daughter did something. I got very upset, and so we got an argument. And so my son was called into it, and he was trying to calm the situation down, and we were just going back and forth, back and forth. Every time she say something, I say something back. You know, you have to have the last say, so you just keep on. It just got worse and worse. And so didn't mean to bring my son in, but he was trying to stop it. And Jehovah told me, he said, sit down, be quiet. And when I heard the Father's voice, I just sit down, and I didn't say anything else. And she was still arguing. And he let me know that if I would have kept on talking, then my blood pressure would have escalated. And that would have done something to the aneurysms. Now, who knows? It could have been worse. But I was so thankful to Jehovah that he intervened, because I wasn't listening to my son, and I was just arguing, trying to have my way. And so I just praise Jehovah for that. I praise him for it. I wanted to read this psalm to change the situation, change the environment a little bit. And it is Psalms 146. And it is about the happiness of those whose help is in Jehovah. And that's our help is in Jehovah. And when we cry out to him, and if we want to change, he'll change us. But if you want to stay the same, you're going to stay the same. So when we cry out to Jehovah, he helps us. So this psalm reads, praise Jehovah, all my soul. While I live, I will praise Jehovah. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in prince, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs and he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in Jehovah, his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Jehovah gives freedom to the prisoners. Jehovah opens the eyes of the blind. Jehovah raises those who are bowed down. Jehovah loves the righteous. Jehovah watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Jehovah shall reign forever. Your God, your Elohim, O Zion, to all generations. Hallelujah. Praise Amen. Jehovah.
Amen. Amen.
Couple of things. One, I know you said when you were a Christian, and indicating that you're not a Christian anymore. And I couldn't help but think about folks who were online and who may even be here that have an issue with, what do you mean you're not a Christian anymore? Did you backslide? Did you walk away from the Most High? And the fact of the matter is that with Christianity and the title Christian comes a lot of baggage with it, especially theological baggage. And so here we don't necessarily identify, at least I don't, and some folks here, some of you may feel a little different, don't identify with Christianity, but followers of Messiah. We don't refer to Jesus Christ, We call him Yeshua the Messiah. His last name is not Christ. His first name is not Jesus. It's not the name his parents gave him. And therefore, that's the implication behind the statement of once being a Christian, but no longer being a Christian. Now, folks who want to identify with Christianity, that's on you. But I felt that I needed to clarify that statement so it don't be a stumbling block to somebody who's listening. But then another thing, and that is because this has come up in counseling so many times. I've counseled so many couples, and what's interesting is everybody think their situation is unique. People are people. Folks argue. And one of the things that I try to do with couples is teach them how to fight. And you say, well, why would you teach them how to fight? Because people are going to fight. And you better learn how to fight fair. Now, a fair fight between a husband and wife is that when you can express yourself, say what's in your heart, what's on your mind, and the other person is not bleeding when you're done. You're not trying to hurt someone. You're trying to communicate. And you don't have to communicate forcefully. In fact, the scripture tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath. The moment one voice elevate, the other escalate. And then there's a series of escalation to where your eyes are, you know, the blood vessels in your eyes are starting to pop. Vein in your neck is protruding. You've just lost your mind. And once you go there, it's hard to reel yourself back in. Because you got to understand something, that there are two entities always looking to exploit or use you. Now, the enemy exploits you. And if you give place to him, then he's going to ride you and cause you to say and do things that you're later going to regret. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. He wants for you and he to be in sync so that he can give you the words to say to that person that you're talking to so that they will hear you and you don't have to elevate yourself to be heard, and you certainly don't have to use profane words to get your point across. The other thing that comes up is that, well, what if the other person is continuing to argue when I step back from the argument? Well, a person can argue all day long, but they should be arguing with themselves, not you. Well, what do? You walk away? No, the worst thing you can do to a person who is arguing is to walk away from them. The best thing you can do is just be quiet and let them talk. Because see, what happens is that if a person gets all of their frustrations out without your interruption, then they're done. Don't feed it. If you walk away from them, it doesn't shut them down. They just follow behind you because they've got something they want to say and they're going to express it and you're going to listen to it. Well, just be quiet. Look at them. Don't intimidate. Don't antagonize. Don't poke the bear. Just look at them. Allow them to speak. Let them get it all out. And don't say something like, you done now? No.
That's gas on a fire.
just be quiet and let them say it. And when they're done, they're done. And you can look at them and they'll look at you. And you can say, okay. Are we finished? Right? Because the whole goal is to really minister to the person, not to leave them wanting and not to walk away from them. So there's a fair way to fight. Choose your words carefully. Always begin or speak with the end in mind. And the end of any argument should be a peace, a peaceful resolution. Now, you may not, and here's where it's important to where if you can't argue without ending in peace, you may need a referee. And that's where I come in. That's where counseling comes in. To come in and referee and then teach individuals, and get this, you have to learn how to referee your own fight. You can't fight without a referee. Not a good legal fight to where someone is going to, you know, okay, you go to your corner. You go to your corner and then check each other. Okay, now y'all come on back out and don't be hitting below the belt. Don't be sucker punching, right? But the point is that at some point you become mature enough to know how to referee your own fight so that you're not fighting dirty. And the other person, if they are operating with the same tools that you're operating in, they're not fighting dirty. And what happens is that you can have a good old drag down knockout fight and still love each other. Right? Because you're communicating like you got some sense. You're talking like you're talking to someone you care about. And it's never the intent or the goal to hurt the other person. And as long as you're operating in that mindset to where you're not trying to hurt each other, you're simply trying to communicate with one another, listen and be heard, then now you got something you can work with. Amen? So it's important that we learn how to communicate with one another. And then hopefully your marriage will grow, your relationship will grow, and you become better communicators, not afraid to say what you need to say, but to say it in a way to where you're not hurting the other person and you're speaking and being heard. Amen? I think that was it. Yeah. Oh, the walking away, arguing, letting the person get all their words out. If you don't let them get their words out, guess what? The next time you get into that argument, they're going to start from the beginning.
Yep. Bring them back.
Think about that, the arguments you've been in. And you done heard this part of the argument for 1,000 times. It's like I done heard that 1,000 times. And right in the middle of you walk away, guess what? You got 1,001 times to hear this again. So let them get it all out. Amen.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
I want to share an experience I had two Sabbaths ago. And this message really has been for me. Especially what the apostle just said. It's been for me. I was coming home from Sabbath. And I saw a group of men, Israel United in Christ. They had come up the highway. They had taken over the whole block. So it was about 50 of them, and they had their posters, and they had their setup. They had a stage, and they had, of course, their microphone and talk blasting. It was impressive. So I decided, well, I want to just stop and see and hear what they say. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Hear what they're saying. They say they're Hebrews. I say, I'm Hebrews. Let me listen and see what they have to say. So I got out, and, you know, he's on the microphone, and he's on stage and calling out people in the crowd and pointing out how and why they're wrong. He'll call up a woman and then point out how she's dressing correctly. Call up a young man and correct him on something. So of all the people, they called me up, and they saw my dress, and I was dressed in black, and I dressed this way, because that's what the Most High tells me. You know, you dress the way I tell you. You are royal priesthood and a holy people. Now, I don't really feel that comfortable with it, but obey. But anyway, they called me up, And they tried to publicly humiliate me and mock me. So he asked me, do you believe, King James, do you believe this Bible? I said, well, yeah, I believe it. I believe some of it. It's a version of a Bible, but I believe some of what in it, but I don't believe all that's in it. Well, if you believe the Bible, why you got on a hat? Bible says a man pray if he shouldn't pray with his head covered. You're in violation of God. Well, I said, well, when I pray, I take the hat off and hold it in my hand, and I don't pray with my head covered. You're in violation of God. Because when I took my hat off, he had a bald head. So now, you're in violation of God. You got a bald head. It's in violation of God. John called up one of the guys. Read. And they found the scripture. That says that you're supposed to just shave the top of your head, but you leave hair on the side. You're not like that. I said, no, I like my head the way it is. Ronald, come up. So they called up another guy, Hispanic guy, and he got his head just, you know, the bozo clown look, where he's just shaving on the top, but his hair on the side. That's the way you should have your hair. I said, that's him. That ain't me. Do what he want to do. Wear my hair the way I want to wear my hair. So then he says to the crowd, that's the problem. He the reason why we got crime in our community. He the reason why black people killing black people. He the reason why women getting raped. He the reason why our sons don't have fathers. So did not do what you said, Apostle. That's why this was for me. He the problem, he said to me. And he's on the microphone. It's loud. So, no, I said, you the problem. You the problem. So he get louder, then I get even louder. And he has a microphone. But my voice was as loud as the microphone. So he says, you the problem. You should, you older, you should know better than that. You're a disgrace to our community. So now, I say, man, who made you a judge over me? You are an accuser of the brethren. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. So if you accuse the brethren, then you are a tool of Satan. And if you are a tool of Satan, then you are of the synagogue of Satan. So now it's on. So I say, woe unto you, scribe Pharisee. You lay burdens on men that are heavy to bear, but you wouldn't bear with one finger for yourself. Warning you, scribe Pharisee. My voice is much higher than now. Apostle probably tell him to sit down. It was that loud. So then he says, Captain, get the captain. So then they get the captain. And the captain walks up, captain about 6'6". He tall. He comes up to me, and with the captain comes his armor bearers, I guess. Dog, yeah. They all look like, you know, soldiers. They all got on these
men of valor.
Yeah. So captain comes up. And he eye to eye, bro, you need to listen. I said, well, not listen. You have judged me. You have been an accuser of the brethren. Woe unto you, scribe and Pharisee. You travel land and sea for one proselyte. And when you find him, you make him three times the child of hell that you are yourself. So now they come up. And it's like, one of me, about 50 of them. So I did one of your numbers, which ain't right. It didn't make no sense. I thought about it later. I say, it's one of me, it's 50 of you.
but I stand and I withstand you. Now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And I returns the challenge. We just look at each other for about 30 seconds. So he said, bro, you ain't listening. And he called another brother, get next to him. He come up next to me. He started reading the Bible. And you need to hear him. No! I will not hear him. And I will not hear you. Because you judge me. And you judge your brothers. I will not hear you. They had been mocking, receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving the Ruach HaKodesh. Anybody that think they can get the Holy Ghost today, they a fool. You a clown. Because he had asked me, did I believe that? And I said, yes, I do. Be filled with the Spirit. You a clown. You like a woman. You just like a woman. So these things that are said, I realize now, pushing my butt, my street button. So, you know, that's why I made that comment. One of you fit to me, I'm going to stand you all. You know, that don't make sense. I thought about it later. But I meant it when I said it. I promise you I did. If that's what it would have took. So I walk off. They say, listen, you need to listen. No, we're not listening. So I started to walk off. And they still talking. And I get in the car. Trying to calm down. Mm-hmm. I'm hot. Trying to calm down. You know what the Ruach said to me? You never should have stopped and got out in the first place. That's what he told me. Mm-hmm. Do you think that was a good idea? Never should have stopped and got out in the first place. But to practice what you all said is easier to do. I mean, it's easier to say than to do. I'd be lying if I said I was here. I was there yet where I could just stay calm and peaceful. But if that's the way and the Ruach in me, I'll get there.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
We have a comment from Eliza. Great teaching, Brother Ronald. I've never heard of the Book of James taught like this before. This is wonderful. This is enlightening. This is truth to live by. Thank you so much for your encouraging words that our Father in Heaven has put in your heart to speak to all people. Thank you. We have a question from DeAndre. I have been working on the music I listen to because I find myself repeating things that don't glorify Yehovah. But I know you said that you work out, so do you have any recommendations for music to listen to in the gym?
I listen to Torah observant artist. I don't really want to promote anybody, but I listen to Sean Burgundy. I listen to...
One of the best things you can do is... You don't necessarily have to listen to music when you work out. Get the Bible on audio.
That's true.
Because, you know, gospel music is not about the gospel. It's about entertainment. And so just choosing one entertainer over another is exactly what is happening. But if you take the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or any other book of the Bible, you can listen to the word while you work out. You can listen to the word while you jog. You can listen to the word while you walk. And if we put the word in us, then that's what's going to come out of you. If you put music in you, that's what's going to come out of you. So put the word in you.
Praise Jehovah. I just praise Jehovah and I just give him all the glory and honor for my brother. That testimony. Hallelujah. Because I know that wasn't easy to tell. But my mom used to say, you know, experience is the best teacher. And so we know you won't do that again. Hallelujah. So I just praise Jehovah for that testimony.
We have a comment from Bobby. Minister Ronald, the effectiveness of teaching is not based on the length of it, but on the accuracy and the power of the message that was delivered.
Thank you.
Valenice has a comment. Thank you, Minister Ronald. Bless you and your family. Thank you for all the scripture references to study and meditate on. Thank you. Also, I forgot that I had to be on here, ABM Live page, to post comments. I've been doing them on YouTube chat. I was thinking my comments were not being read. Ha ha. So remember, go to the website on your computer and log on and put your comments in.
We figured that eventually people will get the message. Yes, we are ignoring folks on YouTube and folks on Facebook as far as their comments are concerned. However, we do have evangelists. We have individuals that are on those particular platforms who, if led to, will instruct the person, hey, if you want to make a live comment, you have to go to the website. Now, we've been saying that for years. And so eventually when folks think that they're not being heard, maybe they'll listen and come over to the website, arthurbaileyministries.com, on the watch page. Look for the chat sign in the bottom right or bottom left of your screen, and there you can put your questions, your comments, and your prayer requests.
We have a comment from Chad. What a great teaching today, Brother Ronald. I truly felt the Spirit move through you today. What a blessing to see Jehovah's people spreading the truth. From Envin, Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Abba Elohim, and thank you, Minister Ronald, for this indeed powerful and timely message and teaching. Death and life really are in the power of the tongue, as the Word tells us. May Jehovah continue to help us use our tongue wisely to His glory. From Wayne, a comment. Sometimes my prayer, Father, put a guard before my mouth. Let the Holy Ghost be the gatekeeper that I know when to speak and when not to. Thank you and shalom. From Fred, Shabbat shalom, family. Good and timely message, Brother Ronald. Another way to deal with someone dumping on you is to earnestly invite the person attempting to gossip you on another to pray for the person's welfare. And for Yeshua to help that person deal with his or her situation that might be the reason for the problem in the first place. No gossip will come to you in the future if they know you'll always invite them to sincerely pray for the person instead of just gossiping about them. Shalom.
I like that one. Any other comments or questions? Oh.
Praise Jehovah.
Praise Jehovah.
Good to be here. I give him the glory and the honor and the praise.
Amen.
Good to be here. Glory, glory, glory. The message, brother.
Amen.
Awesome message. Thank God for the word that always goes forth in this house. And as this message was going forth, it brought a song back to mind that Jehovah gave me years and years and years. I don't know how many years ago. And it was about the words that come out of our mouth. And I'll just like to share that song with you all. And it says, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, O God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, Jehovah. Let me hide myself in thee. that I not sin against thee. May my words be acceptable to thee. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, Jehovah. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, O God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, Jehovah. Let me hide myself in thee, that I not sin against thee. Let my words be pleasing to thee. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to thee, Jehovah. Oh, be acceptable to thee, Jehovah. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
We have another comment from Ms. Baruch. Great and much needed teaching, Brother Ronald. I love your wife's testimony as well, praying for you and your family. From Julie, thank you, Arthur, Ronald, and Fred, for the grace advice concerning gossip situations at work.
Got prayer quiz.
Amen. Something we need to do here today, if there's no more questions. Anybody have any more questions or comments that they want to make in reference to the teaching? Yes, ma'am, please. If you don't mind.
I would like to give a testimony first and then we would trying it with the message today.
Okay.
My name is Kim.
You would have to talk in the mic. Yes, because some people can't hear you, and then we have folks online to where it's just a quiet.
Okay.
And they're trying to figure out what's going on, especially since you won't go over to the.
Now I lost my train of thought. Let me get my life together. First off, I want to say thank you for allowing me to visit, you know, here. With the blessing of Miss Tamai and her daughter, Leah. I have been trying to get out here. I mean, they have been inviting me for a couple of years now. So it was truly blessed because everything aligned. They helped me get here. Very trial past 3 years for me. The blessing of her daughter to guide me every moment. You grow up in life absolutely with people telling you certain words can hurt. Being molested, rape. You tend to entwine those things and you start believing that you're not worth anything. But when you meet beautiful people that are walking in this walk, they make you realize in life that you are somebody, not what everyone else thinks you are. So, need to say, I was always the one that my mouth will get me in trouble. I'm not gonna lie. If you hurt me, I'm gonna definitely talk back. That was my defense mechanism. But being around Ms. Tamai and Leah, they have given me an opportunity to understand that sometimes you just gotta be still. You gotta just take it in and watch how you say it. So I've learned that and still learning and learning this walk, this journey that I'm trying to find. So I'm truly blessed to have them in my life because not only do they show me my mistakes, but they're also guiding me how to walk this walk in faith and belief that I'm trying to find. Truly a blessing. But it's funny because one of the things that, you know, as I must say, Leah is actually my boss, actually, as well. And one of the things that's so funny because we were laughing over here recently was she was like, did you go tell that person that you had something with them? And I was like, oh, really, Leah? You're challenging me to go do that? She's like, yes, because I'm not handling it. You're going to do it. So I was like, so it's just funny and it's confirmation to see that she does preach what you guys teach her because it's something that we need now in the world. So just to let you guys know, she is a wonderful leader, learning how to be a great leader. And she does take what she learns here and actually put it out there in the world. So I'm truly grateful for both of them. But definitely, like I said, I've definitely learning and still learning. So just pray for me. That's it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. And that's one of the reasons why we are a discipleship center. I mean, we talk about being a equipping network and evangelizing community, a discipleship center, a worldwide witness. Our goal is to allow the Almighty to use us because there are a lot of hurting people out there. And if they don't get the truth, so I really appreciate you sharing your testimony with us. Even though somebody has been AWOL for a while, it's good to know. It's good to know that, you know, she's taking that. Yeah. You know, I was just going to let you get away with that. But anyway, I'm so happy to hear that the word continues to go forth. And as we pray that the Almighty raise up laborers because the harvest is truly plentiful. Amen. And so, is there anybody else? Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Get your tissue. As a matter of fact, I think we might even have some tissue for you over there.
Amen. I'm AWOL. I'm so grateful as well to be here. When Father aligns things.
Now, where y'all coming from? Just to...
I drove up from Chester yesterday.
Chester, PA. PA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some folks don't know what PA means.
Pennsylvania.
Okay. That's for us ignorant and unlearned folks with the fourth grade education.
Ronald, today, let me just start by saying I wasn't coming. And then I got into bed and the Father said, oh, you're going. You know, you think you're not going, but you're going. And to be obedient, I called my mom, which is Tammy. And I said, Mom, is it room for me to come down? You know, I'm coming. And I have a great expectation for when I get there. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what Father has for me. But whatever it is, I want it. That message, it was for me and I'm sure a lot of other people, but really it was your wife's testimony. Because, you know, I come alone. I am married, but I do come up alone. And I pray for my husband all the time. And it's just confirmation hearing, you know, I'm not the only one. That Father is working and he's answering my prayers just in his time, not my time. And I'm going to wait on him because he's never let me fall, you know, whatever I had going on. Father was always in the midst, you know. When I sat in that church, knowing something was missing, he sent my mom for me. He sent my sister. He sent my brothers. You know, and here I am, and I'm finding out what truth is. And I'm so grateful and so happy to be here. You know, and you guys are awesome. The love, the energy in the building, you know, the smiles and everything. And no, I wasn't coming to this microphone. But... you know, and last week, I believe it was, several people talked about the spirit of fear, and it's out of fear and sometimes embarrassment, but I'm just so grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for this ministry. I'm grateful for the message. And again, kudos to you and your wife for being so transparent and letting me know there's still, Father's still working in me. He's still working in my marriage. And hopefully, one day, you guys will be able to meet my husband.
Amen.
Amen.
So, thank you so much.
Amen. We're certainly looking forward to that.
Ma'am, if the more you say hopefully, you're putting doubt in that. Say that we will meet him.
Yeah.
It's a declaration. Your words have Amen. To meet with your thoughts. You keep saying hopefully, that's a put off. You will meet, we will meet him.
Mm-hmm. We declare that. In agreement.
Amen.
Anybody else? Lawrence? Oh.
Tora. She might have a testimony.
All right. Anyway, yes. She's trying to preach.
Shabbat shalom.
Is this on? Okay, you guys can hear me. I had a thought earlier, and I was going to get up, but I thought that moment had passed until you, sister, you got up and you shared that. And the thought that I had was Father brought back my remembrance that falls right in line with the message about our tongue, that I was thinking about my husband and I and some difficult times that we were going through before we even started in this walk. We were in the church. And I used to ride him all the time because I felt like, okay, I'm seeking the Father, but I don't feel like you're where you need to be. My focus was on looking at his shortcomings. And I never forget, I began to pray about our marriage and I prayed to the Father. And what Father revealed to me, he said, you cannot change what you did not create. See, I was using my mouth. That tongue, and what it was doing was it was separating us. But what Father told me is just to focus on my relationship with him. He said, if you'll focus on me, I'll take care of him because he belongs to me. And when I begin to focus on him, to hear from him, and to keep my mouth closed, the next thing I knew when I turned around, my husband was right beside me. And I say that just to encourage us as wives. And we know the scripture says that a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears her house down. Now, the scripture says with her hands, but also with her tongue. So there comes a time when we have to be quiet and focus on the Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How many of you have heard that statement, a family that prays together stays together? Where is that at in the Bible? Every man and woman, every husband and wife are in two separate places in their walk. And if you try to deal with the person from the place you're in, then at that particular point, you don't recognize the place they're in. You have to meet people where they are. You have to allow people to grow. And we don't all grow at the same pace. The key is that you love the person. You accept them where they are. And then listen to the Almighty. He'll tell you how to minister to that person instead of you trying to push them and drag them and cause or make them as mature as you are from that old adage. We need to be praying together. We need to be reading the Bible together. We need to be doing this and this and this and this and that together. And that, brothers and sisters, it border on control. And I'll tell you about people. Nobody likes being controlled. People will fight you if they see you're trying to control. And this is one of the big mistakes that men and women make as soon as they make a commitment together, is that they go into the mode of trying to remake that other person. That's what they try to do. They try to make that person the way they want to be. And you know what typically happens if they're successful? If they make that person the way they want them to be, instead of accepting them the way they are and where they are and allowing the Almighty to do the work, when they make that person the way they want them to be, they realize that's not what they want them to be.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Now, the person that they've made into who they've made them into, they trying to get away from them. Mm-hmm. So you have to allow the Almighty to do the work in them. You have to allow the Almighty to do the work in you. Be patient with one another. This is where that whole 1 Corinthians 13 thing comes in. This is what love is and how you love the person that you are married to or the one that you're looking to get married to. Because if you don't, you're going to eventually turn them into something you don't like.
I just want to highlight something that you said, Arthur, that we all are at different places. There's no two people on this earth that's at the same place in their faith walk. And when my husband was alive, only did I get some peace, and he had a lot of peace, when I recognized that I have to let Father deal with him, that I couldn't deal with him. And I remember asking him one day, I said, you know, Floyd, what is it about me that you don't like? And I was wanted to hear, and we had that kind of relationship. He said, Sharon, you nag me. So I said, so I said, yeah. I said, you know, but sometimes I tell you things, and then I don't see you doing that. He said, and I said, so I don't know if you heard me. He said, I heard you. You know, so that let me know I need to back off. But what I also wanted to say was that we, even in the natural, don't progress and grow at the same rate. Even though each one of us has a yearly birth date, I was just talking to a practitioner a couple of days ago, and he was saying that there is a test that you can take with blood that will tell you physiologically what the age is of your body. So you might be 50, but your body might be 40, or your body could be 70 and you 50. It all depends on how you took care of yourself. But this test will also tell you for every 12 months of like the year calendar, how much your body grows. And he was saying that his only grew like 9/10, you know, so he wasn't aging a whole year within a year. And that's good, because then you're taking care of your body and doing what you need to do. So we all are different individuals. And only once we recognize that and give up that control, because I'm going to tell you, we want somebody to be the way we think that they ought to be. But if you think about it in reverse, how much do you put up like this when somebody tried to control you? All right. So we learn to live together and accept each other and want to build each other up. That's the way we can get more harmony within our homes and our relationships. Thanks.
Now, I don't know why all of our teachings somehow get on marriage counseling. but in a way it does, because one of the things when two people that I'm ministering to has gotten to a point to where in their head, if the Almighty don't change this, I'm out. That's where most people come to me, in that place. And the goal that I try to get them to is back when they were first attracted to each other. It's like, what attracted you to that person? Why did you marry that person? What did you see in that person when you decided that you were going to make whatever commitment you're going to make with that person? Because, see, that's the person that they were drawn to. If you change that person from that, you're no longer drawn to them. You understand what I'm saying? So if you can just get back into that place and see the things about that person that you like, and then move into that frame of mind again and allow that person to grow on their own, then they'll do that. You are not their Holy Spirit. You are not their Savior. You are not the one who died for them. Leave them alone. Eventually, what will happen is if you focus on your walk and you become the person that the Almighty desires you to become, and they see that, and you're not nagging them, and you're not beating them over the head with the Bible, and you're not trying to manipulate and intimidate them and use some kind of witchcraft magic to control them to become what you want them to be, they'll start becoming jealous of you. They'll start desiring what you got. Then they'll start watching you more, asking you questions, and don't try to give them the whole Bible when they ask you about one verse. That's my job. And then just let them grow at their pace. I mean, anybody else? Because I do want to get these certificates. Sister Tammy, now, you called her Tammy. Is it Tammy or Tammy? Then please explain it. Because it's like, I'm listening now. That ain't what we call her.
Okay, I'm going to actually go to the camp.
Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Okay, let me explain, okay?
Right.
My mother named me Tammy Demeter Simmons at the time. And that was the name that I was known by most of my life. Some years ago, because I never really liked my name, I did a word study on my name because of the way my mother spelled it, T-A-H-M-I, and found out that the proper pronunciation was Tammy. So when I am at work, I am Tammy. When I came here, Apostle called me Tammy, so I just stuck with it. Okay, I just stuck with it. You know, that's the only reason why I said Apostle called me Tammy, I'm Tammy here. Okay. But that I was gonna explain my name. But it really, the proper pronunciation of it is Tammy.
You just threw that on me.
I'm gonna help you out, because I do remember when you first came over Hill Road and I looked at that name, I said, how you pronounce that? And so I think you said Tammy.
She said Tammy.
Oh. She said, but you can call me Tammy.
Yep.
So that's what I've been calling her, Tammy, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, because Apostle and I was talking.
Miss Tammy. Please accept my humble apology.
No, it's okay, because one time Apostle was preaching and he was talking about people changing their names, and he said, what's your mama name? What's on your license? Well, Tammy is on my license. So
what's your mama call you?
My mother always called me Tammy. Always. That's why when he said it, I stayed with it. I said, okay. I just stayed with it.
Well, Miss,
the proper pronunciation is Tamai.
Miss Tamai, I want to present you with these three certificates. Now, when this sister got busy and this weekend, how many exams did you do this week? How many?
Eight. I did test 8, and then I did the final 4 discipleship, and then I did the final 4 leadership too.
Okay, because I got
minister's training too. I'm sorry.
Oh, because I'm looking for leadership and I don't see it.
No.
Okay.
Leadership. So you,
and then you did your video for the project that was for minister's training too.
Yes.
So she's been busy, y'all.
Yes.
She's been busy. And so I'm truly honored to present you one with discipleship training, with minister training 1, and with minister training 2. So you can come on over here and we're going to. Come on, Ronnie. You can stand here with us.
Like I need to stand between the two of them.
Roosevelt, we miss you. We miss you.
Congratulations.
I mean, and actually, you're going to hold 2 of them and I'm going to hold 1. And we're doing this because we got some. We're going to take a few shots and send them to us. This is a tremendous accomplishment. It really is. And so I'm so happy and so honored to present these 3 certificates. Certificate of Discipleship and that's Discipleship 101, our Certificate for Minister Training 1 and Minister Training 2. And I just wanted to use this as an opportunity to really compel and inspire. I hope this inspire those of you who are yet to finish discipleship, ministers 1 or ministers 2 training. So this sister's on the board and let her be an inspiration to you all. Thank you, Tamai.
Congratulations.
Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Because we got some great food back there and I'm looking forward to going back there and getting me some. My stomach is growling a little bit. Anything else you want to say, brother?
I need to do a prayer request real quick.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to take a time to address prayer request. Yes. All right. We have any in-house prayer requests? All right.
Praise the Father.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you for a wonderful service in which we joined in your name. We thank you for your word which went forth. At this time, we just petition you, Father, on behalf of others. Father, we ask that you meet those at the point of their needs who, for whatever reason, did not come forth and ask for prayer, but definitely need prayer. Father, I pray especially for Daviana. I pray that her father's eyes may be open to the truth and that her entire family, Father, may be open to the truth. And we pray, Father, against hard times. I pray and ask that you meet her and her family at the point of their needs. Please aid and assist her mom, Father, with her finances. And, Father, we just ask you just to keep us all guarded, Father, throughout our days. Cover us with your hedge of protection, Father. Continue to walk with us and guide us in our everyday walk. Incline our ears to hear your voice and your voice only. Give us discernment to know the difference between our own voice and your voice. Father, we just ask that you help us to be bold in our walk. Father, let us not be shameful or shy when it comes to glorifying you in front of others. Father, we pray and we ask that you would multiply your laborers, Father. For the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Father, we just pray that your spirit go forth throughout all nations, Father. I pray for the land of Israel, Father. I pray, Father, that you restore what was given to your children. Father, I just thank you right now, and I ask that you move on all of our behalves, and in the mighty name of your son, Yeshua. Amen. All right, well, there's no more.
There's a couple of announcements. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we're going to be back here for the eighth day, and we're going to be talking about remembering, reflection, and recommitting. And also, I'm going to share some things with you that, again, you know, I think that this particular season that we've been in throughout this whole year, Father has just been revealing himself and revealing his truth and sharing things with us to help us get a clearer picture of his feast and how we are to respond and to celebrate them. And so tomorrow will be no different. Before he close us out with the blessing, I just want to take another moment because this is the last day of Tabernacle and for us all to rejoice together again. We're going to be breaking bread here in just a moment after the prayer. And so please, you can avail yourself to that. And we pray Father's blessings over our fellowship and our breaking of bread. And as you commune together, remember our guests go first. But let's just take a moment.
While you're doing that, Arthur, I want to say 11 o'clock tomorrow for people in Charlotte, we're having our brunch. Okay.
So as you heard, 11 o'clock, there will be a brunch. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to come together and have our service. And then we go eat some more. So, amen. Let's celebrate him.
Thank you all. I encourage you all online to look us up at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. We have a wonderful curriculum, fully accredited university online. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. And if there's no more questions or comments, receive your blessings. All right. May Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Jehovah give you peace. Amen.
All right. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, saints.
Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4 when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.